We have Jared Duffy from TAB, Josh Kennedy, Swans great, also Michael Maxworthy and Ali Mosley still to come in the last hour of the program this morning. Just a reminder, Good Friday, no show tomorrow or Monday for Easter Monday, so we will be back Tuesday. Pup is IPL bound tomorrow as well, but we'll be joining you still Tuesday. Over the next few weeks.
Well, I'm on. I'll speak to you both Tuesday. Looking forward to getting over there. Lots of Aussies over there playing... work in the media as well, so I can keep you up to date on what's happening out of town as well. Hope I got my tips wrong. Hope the Tigers win, Middo. I know I went against them, but geez, I hope they can
back up
last week. Yeah, yep.
Loz, you just had your arm in the air. What do you want to say?
Oh, no, I was just about to, before you asked Pup the question, I was just about to see what you were all up to over the long weekend. But that was a conversation we probably should have had off air rather than
that's on okay.
air.
I'm straight into it. I land 10:30 Friday night into Mumbai, and I'm got a game Saturday, got a game Sunday. So...
Straight into it.
Straight into it, buddy.
Beautiful.
Best
way
to meet
up. Yeah, I was about to say that. What are you up to, Middo?
Going home. Spend some time with
Orange.
The family.
Oh.
Yeah.
When are you driving?
Today.
Oh, good boy.
Yeah. Going home.
Good man.
On your own?
Split second decision.
You taking
absolutely.
Someone to introduce
mate, I'm
to the
just
family?
Going, I'm going home to
get
away
out
from
of town.
People like you.
Yeah, good idea.
Bad temptations.
Well, your health, you should be thanking me.
For
your own health.
That's
me
it.
Departing is probably a good thing for your...
how long are you waiting for?
True.
I don't know the answer to that question.
Right. So the semis, be back before the semis, or you could be there for finals.
I hope I'm back earlier rather
plays,
than later.
Right, plays out.
As much
right.
as I'm looking forward to being a part of that tournament, but it's extremely difficult.
Much
I hate being away
travel
from my daughter.
Internally?
I've got lots of flights, yeah, because I'm... On ground commentary, so world feet. So do a game, fly to the next destination, do a game, fly to the next destination.
By the way, what about this game overnight in the IPL? IPL record.
Yeah.
Sunrisers Hyderabad posted 3 for 277. That is an IPL record.
Paddy Cummins, captain.
And they've beaten the Mumbai Indians, who've made a great fist of the chase.
Yeah.
5 for 246 in response, so a 31-run victory and plenty of Aussies involved. So Travis Head, 62 off 24 balls at the top of the order for Sunrisers. Look at this. The two South Africans here, Heinrich Klaassen, 80 off 34 deliveries, not out. 7 sixes he hit. And Adam Markram was 42 at the other end. Another player here, Abhishek Sharma, 63 off 23 deliveries. Look at some of these bowling figures. The opening bowler, Mapaka.
Went for 16.
Four overs, none for 66. Wow. Cop that.
Have a look at Bumrah, how good his figures are. So 277 they made, and Bumrah still only went for 36 off his ball. He's a genius.
Easily the most economical of the bowlers there. And in response, the Mumbai Indians, so in their big total, still falling short. Tim David's there, 42 not out off 22 deliveries. Mm. And like you said, Paddy Cummins, 2 for 35 off his four overs.
Brilliant.
So some Aussies involved.
Where was that game played?
That was at Hyderabad.
Okay. Yeah, they just moved the venues around because they've got elections on early April. So I think a lot of it has been, they've sort of got set venues and all the teams go and play a certain amount of games in those venues and they move together. But... yeah, the chaos of the IPL is well and truly underway. And like I said, lots of Aussies taking part.
Jared Duffy from TAB, a very good morning to you.
Morning, Mido. Just on your trip to Orange, there was talk several months ago that, just like what happened at Junee, there was going to be a statue built on the outskirts of town in honour of you. Has that happened yet or...?
Tell you what, there'll be some things thrown at it if that's the case.
Why? Why would you throw stuff at it?
It's in the making, Daff, as we speak.
Yeah.
Well, I do claim that he's Orange's greatest export.
But
Mortimer's might have something to say about that, amongst many others.
Were you Orange?
Nah, no. I grew up half an hour west of.
Yeah. Well, why are you claiming Orange?
Well, that's just because Dad lives in Orange now, and that's where I'm going.
Yeah, but if I lived outside of Junee. I would say the place where
no one's
from. So if I lived at Illawarra, I would say Illawarra.
Well, no one's heard of Bowen Park.
Or
mate.
Wattabadgery.
Okay, well, I grew up at Bowen Park. There
Bowen
you go.
Park, yeah, that's better. Yeah. Don't go around promoting yourself
well,
as an Orange
boy. Maybe
we'll
get one put up at Bowen Park.
Yeah.
We'll get one somewhere.
Yeah, well, Bowen Park, we're more likely to get one put up at Bowen Park.
Chance there.
How big's Bowen Park?
Six people.
Goes through, let me say, what, about 5Ks, the district?
Right.
Maybe.
Well, that's better. Never forget your roots.
No, well, mate, I love that. Which
I know you don't.
Which we never sold it. Yeah.
I know my address.
Yeah, I know you do.
And first phone number.
I know you
we
do.
Didn't sell it, I probably wouldn't be here.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, Daff, NRL tonight, buddy. Roosters just taking on the Panthers.
Anyone
what's the market
think
saying?
Penrith can win?
Yes. Yeah, I think Penrith can win.
Yep.
Well, they're $2.55 outsiders. All they've done since that news on Monday is blow like the north wind. Roosters $1.52. Even that line yesterday was -4.5 points in favour of the Roosters. It's now 5.5, and that's into $1.85. So all one-way traffic. It's had a bit of an impact on the premiership market as well because after the weekend we had Penrith at 350. Well, they're out a little bit to 375, but there's plenty of interest in the Roosters at 6. So, assuming the market's right and the Roosters win tonight, that $6 will disappear. But fabulous betting game.
Just on that, and I'm assuming they'd be the, well, obviously they're the favourites, but they'd have the, I'm assuming they've got the most money on them to win the comp to go again, the Panthers. And if they are, Daff, who's on the next line? Like, who do they...
There's three that have got... Yeah. It's not a bad question. There's three that have got a pretty similar amount, that being Penrith, Brisbane, and the Roosters. The Roosters are always backed every year anyway. They're a bigger price than what they are now. But they're the three. Melbourne Storm, they've got about 8%. Of the rest, clearly the most popular is Manly. They're our worst result at the moment to win the title, and they're currently at $15.
Okay, where are we?
The Broncos.
What was that? The Broncos. What about them? Oh, on the sheet.
Yeah. Broncos, okay,
I was
Cowboys.
Go to the AFL.
No,
but,
we're okay. Getting more into the league, mate. Okay. Don't
the
worry
Bronx
about moving on.
The cows. This is as tight a market as it gets, isn't it, Daff?
Yeah, it does. Well, the Broncos were out to 210 before Adam Reynolds was named, so we can only assume he'll be playing. And there was a reaction to that, so they're equal favourites at the moment, the Bronx and the Cowboys, $1.90 each of two.
What about the Rabbitohs, buddy? Are they firmed against the Bulldogs?
Oh, just a little bit, Clarky. Having said that, there's plenty of interest in the Bulldogs. Yeah. They're $2.65 to win, but more so with the +6.5. That's $1.85. Souths are $1.48. That's in from $1.50, and obviously -6.5, $1.95.
Now you can ask about the AFL.
Can
period.
I?
Yes.
Great.
Okay. Done with your league?
I'll tell you what. We've got two desperate teams here tonight. The Lions in the pie. I'm all over the Lions winning tonight. Actually, Collingwood will be 0-4.
Who would have thought that after the grand final last year that these two sides would be winless at this stage of the season? But that's the case. Ironically, yesterday we had Brisbane at $1.36. They've named Lachie Neale, but they're a better price. I can't work that out. But anyway, they're $1.38 now. Collingwood, $3.10. That line has come in a point. It was 16.5 start to Collingwood yesterday. It's now 15.5 points. And once again, the impact of this game tonight has plenty to do with the premiership market. Brisbane are $9, so they're down the list a little bit. But Collingwood, 13. Who knows what they'll get to if they get tailed up tonight. But obviously, the victor shortens up a little bit and the loser goes out the gate.
What about the Jack Jumpers tonight, buddy, in the NBL? They've got to be favourites.
It's party only time. Slight, Clarky.
Oh, slight's
only
enough
slight.
For me.
When we put this one up, when we knew who when it was $2.10. Melbourne, well, they're into $2. They actually got into $1.95 at one stage yesterday, but $2 slight outsiders. Tassie $1.80. Tassie have the benefit of having a game in hand. So to win the title, whether it be tonight or it goes to game five, that might be a bit of a daunting task. But Tassie $1.45, Melbourne United $2.75.
What about the NBA, mate?
Yeah, there's plenty of games on today, Loz, and there's been a few moves.
Did you see the game yesterday between the Bucks and LA?
The Lakers,
yeah.
I didn't bother with it. I had other things to do, but I knew LeBron, he was out.
He was out, double extra
and they've,
time.
And they've walked
yeah.
in.
Yeah, they won.
Yeah. How do you follow it? Anyway, today Brooklyn are away to Washington. Brooklyn 170 into 165. Washington 230, a line of 2.5 points. Minnesota are short. There's a lot of shorties today. They were $1.14, but they're into $1.07 now. Detroit $9. That line has moved a handful from 10.5 out to 15.5. And the other move, and it's been for the outsiders, Houston 3.10 away to Oklahoma City. Houston 3.10 into 2.60. OKC is $1.52 to win. And that line has moved in a couple of points to 4.5.
You have a great Easter, Jarrett.
You too, Jarrett.
Ah, geez, it hasn't exactly been a quiet week in AFL. How are you, Josh?
Yeah, guys. Going all right. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. And I guess your reaction will be interested in to these, well, off-the-books drug testing and lies that have apparently been told about players being injured when they potentially tested positive to an illicit substance. I mean, what have you made it all, of it all, Josh, and the AFL's response to it?
It's been a big week, that's for sure. You sort of just throw your hands up in the air because, you know, and I saw Simon Goodwin, he sort of said that he had no knowledge of it and all that sort of thing, and I completely, completely believe him on that. The problem with the whole thing is that, you know, most of the people within the club, leadership groups, coaches, CEOs are in the dark with a lot of this stuff. So, you know, it's quite frustrating when it's so almost secretive this process. But yet, you know, I know in my time you sort of every year you have to sit through a education program that you're getting told that, you know, they're cracking down harder on this thing and da 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 da. But at the end of the day, you know, they're just trying to protect the players. But yeah, I think the frustration and just being in the dark is the hardest part.
Josh, how often is it possible for a player to be ruled out of a game and your leaders, not certainly your coach, not know why they've been pulled out? Like, does a team doctor in AFL just say, your Buddy Franklin's being ruled out today? Like, and not say, well, because he's got a torn hamstring? Like, does the doctor not have to communicate, or does the coach not expect to know why his player's out of the game?
Oh, absolutely. You would expect to know why the player's out of the game. But as I said, you just wouldn't know if it was for any reason. You know, they're saying they've faked the injury, so maybe it could be for any reason that they're pulled out of the game, and you just move on. But, you know, as far as what Simon Goodwin said and having any knowledge of this sort of undercurrent of drug testing pre-game and if positive ruling out with another injury, I completely believe him that he'd have absolutely no idea about that.
Mm. What about the other big story coming out of round two was the suspension for 2 metre Peter. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it hasn't divided many. Yeah. It's a tough one, isn't it? It's such a fast game and a split second decision. I heard sort of Paddy Cripps talking about it during the week. You know, if you just continue to make an effort to mark the ball or spoil the ball, rather than cut yourself in and it almost ended up in a bump, then I think it's a different story. I think you got to either follow through with trying to mark it, and you do your best, and it becomes a 50-50 contest. But if you're there a split second late, then there's got to be a duty of care.
But isn't that a natural reaction, though, Josh? Sorry, mate. Isn't that a natural reaction, though, when you're going up and then all of a sudden you know you can't get there?
Yeah,
last minute you just turn, don't you? I would have thought.
Yeah. I agree. It's so hard to put yourself in that position.
Yeah.
Yeah, the players are making split second decisions all the time, all the time. You know, and this is not as if it's not a common. You know, this hasn't happened too often, so I think there is a possibility that you can make that decision in real time, but it is hard.
Yeah.
It is hard, and I don't think there was any sort of real malice in Peter's intention in the end, but
Can I ask you, mate, what would you do in that situation now, knowing that, you know, you're going to get 4 weeks if that happens? And there's that natural reaction. It's hard just to go flat out when you know you could injure yourself too. But are you then sort of thinking, oh, I'll pull out here and be a little bit soft at the ball?
Well, if I think I have a genuine chance of getting there, then I'll go with everything that I've got. So, I mean, and Peter probably did, but then you've got to follow through with the attempt of marking or spoiling.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. Now, that's a lot easier said than done. I mean, I was on the end of it in my last game a couple of years ago. Yeah. And not intending to cause any injury, but I think if you think you can get there, you got to go, and you got to go and finish it off trying to mark it or spoil it. But if you realise you're a second late, yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one. A tough one.
What do you make of the Pies' start to the season, buddy? And how important is this game against the Lions?
Oh, for both teams, incredibly important. Gee, they've just been a bit off, haven't they, the Pies? You can tell they were trying hard last week, trying different things and trying to get their sort of attacking game through the corridor going, their run and carry. You know, you just feel that the pressure's starting to build now. It's almost, it almost becomes a bit of a monkey on the back. I'm not sure they can beat Brisbane up there. I think Brisbane having the week off, a chance to sort of reassess, reset, and go again. I think that'll help, and I reckon they'll probably win, and Collingwood go 0-4 to start the year, which is just crazy to think.
Swans are flying, mate. They take on Richmond at the G. They just win, don't they?
They should just win. Yeah. They keep playing the way that they're playing. They're an exciting brand of footy, great to watch. And everyone's in great form. So I think they get the job done there. But Richmond were pretty impressive last week as well, despite not getting over the line.
Josh, we talk about the Swans and building depth, and they're going great. So if they continue to win and all of a sudden, those three midfielders are all declared fit, what are you doing with them? Do they all come back through reserve grade, or you picking a few of them in the squad?
It's a great question. A good problem to have, and a problem that I'm glad I'm not having to make the call.
But
it depends how much longer they're out for. If it's the longer it goes, the more likely you probably see them just having a run in the twos, provided the team's playing still as well as they are.
But
for all three of them, they've got runs on the board, and come the pointy end of the season, what you're going to get from them. So you'd want to be trying to get them back in the team as quick as possible.
Have a great Easter, Josh.
Thanks, guys. You too. One outsider for this week will be, who did I think? If Lever and May, either of those guys get up this week, I think they beat Port Adelaide.
Okay.
Over in Adelaide.
Playing at 270. Yep.
265 at Tab currently. Melbourne to beat Port in Adelaide. Okay, we'll take that one. Love it, Josh. Enjoy. Thanks so much.
Need one of those two key defenders to get up for the game, though. I know they're both under an injury cloud.
All right, we'll keep an eye on those team lists late there. That game is 7:30 Saturday night. Thanks, mate.
Good on you, guys.
Loz, if you got young kids and they're nagging you to go to the Easter show.
Yeah.
What's the one weekend you probably...
Well, you're not going this weekend.
Desperate
I wouldn't have thought.
Not to go.
But our great man and our great friend, Jono.
Yeah, he's drawn poorly, hasn't he?
He's drawn a bad barrier. He's going Sunday.
Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
Royal Easter show.
And with the in-laws as well and other families and kids. John, he's going to have a great day.
There's going to be a blow-up and a walk-up.
Of all days. Mate, just go on the Sunday. Yeah. Just go to the Fox Studios one. And then wait for maybe a better day to go to the Homebush one.
Mm.
Look, boys, it was the opposition leader that made the call, not me. So you know what it's like. You just got to go with it.
Go with the flow. Wow. How many blow-ups will you have on the day, John?
Oh, 5,000 before
be
about midday.
There.
We might even have them on the way there.
Well, tell me about the plan. What time are you leaving?
Well, early.
Early, yes.
We're going to get there literally as the gates open.
Train, bus, drive? What are you doing?
No, we've got the pre-parking sorted.
Right.
And then we'll get in early. My little bloke's only two, so he won't last the full day. Oh. And we'll do all the animals and all that stuff early. And
so who's going to, when he gets a bit older when you take him out, when he's old enough to go on the rides,
yeah.
Is it, you're the lovely one that's going to take him on the rides?
Yeah, probably.
You like rides?
Yeah, my wife doesn't like them too much.
Kids' rides are fine. They're good. I took Kelsey last year. Yeah. The rides are awesome. And they're not, you don't get sick. They're too small for the big ones.
Yeah, I wasn't great at the ones at Wonderland in the old days.
Yeah. No.
But life's changed since then.
Well, when they get to
Space Pro
13.
They go on their own.
They go on their own, do they?
Cut them loose.
Gosh, how good was Wonderland?
Oh.
Space Pro, get me back there.
The demon. Pirate the demon, ship, the big wooden one.
The pirate ship.
The pirate
Where's
ship.
Wonderland?
Spew on top of everyone watching.
Eastern Creek was.
You never went there.
You never went to
you
Wonderland.
You never went to Australia's Wonderland.
No.
Oh, you joke, that I'm aware was heaven. Of it, no. Just get the season pass for about 60
feel
bucks.
Sorry for you.
60 bucks, you go as many times as you want.
No, never been.
Australia's Wonderland. When
did that close down?
Late 90s,
yeah.
I'm going to say.
Yeah, well, I wasn't here.
Maybe early 2000s.
I wasn't living in Sydney.
Oh. What about the water? The water rapids, that was good as
I
well.
I don't travel to go to.
You know, that was a good ride.
Theme parks.
I remember working at a radio station 500 years ago, and they had a promotion where you had to sit on the roller coaster, and it just went round and round and round. And the last one left won, like, a massive prize.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's really? A lot of spews.
Yeah, it went for about a week.
Yeah.
Oh. Mate, imagine that.
A couple of hot dogs before you get on.
You're just on there all... Oh, yeah, no, I couldn't do that. I'd be crook.
Anyway,
I'd be crook after one ride.
Enjoy the Easter show on Easter Sunday. I look forward to
it. It is fun.
Document everything, John.
It is fun. You'll enjoy it. Yeah. It's just going to be a little bit, just expect it to be packed.
Mm, take plenty of money too, mate.
Yeah, show bags. What happened to $5 show bags?
Birdie Beetle.
Yeah, they're no longer. Mate, I don't know what a show bag would be worth now, but I'm tipping it would be close to 40, 50 bucks.
I reckon
bucks
$30.
A bag,
yeah, I reckon. If I remember last year, it was $30 a bag, something like that. Ridiculous, but anyway.
Well, to pay for those show bags, we need some mail. Michael Maxworthy is going to help us. G'day, Maxi, for the parents, of course. Yeah. Maxi, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Mido. Good morning, guys. I can report that we've actually got a little bit of sun shining today over most of southeast Queensland since last Sunday. It's pretty much rained every day. Did ease yesterday, but unfortunately we lost the meeting at Eagle Farm. So looking ahead to Doomben on Saturday, the forecast for today, tomorrow and Saturday is mainly clear, only of a slight chance of a shower. But Middo, we're looking at the horses that definitely handle wet tracks. We could be an 8 or a 9 if the weather does remain fine over the next couple of days.
What are your best bets across the program at Doomben there tomorrow, Maxie?
Well, it's a bit tricky because of how wet is this track going to be, trying to come up with something a few days before. But I had been following a horse in race 3, number 10, Lady Ladar. And I think she gets the right setup. And I think she'll handle a heavy track. She's been waiting in the wings to win. And I think she gets a perfect setup here. A benchmark 68, 1,600 metres. She's been racing well around this grade and distances. She just needs a touch of luck to go her way. And I don't mind the price about her on offer at the moment on tab, $4.60. So Doomben, race 3, number 10, Lady Ladar. And I've got one in the first. Yeah. It's absolute maddie here at the price. Race 1, number 10, Cherry Lips. Now, I think she'll handle the track okay. I'm thinking she's way overs at 71 the win and 11 the place.
Yes.
It's mad, all right?
I love it.
I just can't work it out.
Okay, race 1 for our listeners. Race 1, Doomben Saturday, number 10.
Cherry Lips
is currently $71 to win, $11 to place. I
got to say, actually backed it. Italian Riviera on debut was not too bad at the Sunny Coast, 460. Run Lucy runs at the top of the market at 310, but a pretty open race. So you just think that's way over the odds, naturally, Cherry Lips.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But in particular, the place, given that she was eye-catching two starts ago behind Zuna, and then she stepped up from the 11 to the 1400 and ran third at Eagle Farm 2 weeks ago behind, well, possibly our best two-year-old called Can't Recall It. So I know he towed her up, but she was only just past the second on the line. So I just think with no weight on her back, that $11 in particular, the place is pretty attractive.
Have you done any form for the Sydney meeting Saturday, Maxi?
Yeah, it's mouthwatering. You guys have been talking about it all week, the Vinery. What a great race that's looming to be. People are talking about it being a match race between the Kiwi Orchestral and Godolphin's Ardozia. But I'm also interested in Komochi. I thought she was super in the Coolmore. And she's the horse probably with a bit of dash still about her as she steps up from the 1500. But, gee, you know, I was listening to Roger James doing an interview with Greg the other day, and he's sounding super confident, something that he normally doesn't do with his horses, with Orchestral. She's been bolting into the last four starts. I know she's $1.60, but she could be very, very special. I wouldn't jump into it at that price because of the Zardozi and the Komochi factor here. I think they're very, very good fillies. But, you know, she might get to $1.80. You never know. But for me, I'm going to have something on race five, number two in the Emancipation Hinged. I think she can get back into the winner's list after a long, long time. So she's been racing basically in group ones, group twos throughout her career. I think she's come back in good order. Last start in the Coolmore, I thought she was excellent behind Zugotcha. Zugotcha got all the favours from the inside gate. She carried top weight to win. But this filly, I thought, was just as good. She was exposed. This mare Hinged, and I love the way she attacked the line to be only beaten three quarters of a length. I think Tab are offering Hinged at the moment about $5.50 and $2. So a couple of days out, she's one that I'm very interested in backing in race five, the Emancipation, number two, Hinged at Rose Hill.
Great stuff. Thank you, Maxi, and have a great Easter.
Thank you, guys. You too.
Michael Maxworthy there. Now, I've got Brad Davidson's best bets for the weekend as well, or for Saturday. So Brad Davidson, race nine, number 17 at Rose Hill. Rose Hill, race nine, number 17, another Will. In the Doncaster Prelude, $1.90 is his best. And at Flemington, on Tab Australian Cup Day there, he likes race six, number 12, See What I See, at $2.20. So Rose Hill, race nine, number 17, another Will. And Flemington, race six, number 12, See What I See. Brad Davidson's best. I've just had a report through from Rose Hill as well. Well, it seems like there's rain around Sydney, but as of the moment, Rose Hill's got none of it. So it's a good four there. No rain in the last 24 hours for Rose Hill. Good four still currently, but there's some clouds looming. See Brett Devine at the ATC sent us some text there of some clouds looming around Rose Hill. So just keep monitoring that weather and that track heading towards Saturday. And we are, well, by the way, two different people have texted this in. Gents, I've got a mate we call Showbag. He's full of crap. It's all BS. We had a mate we called Showbags, as he was always full of crap, David Walker. So there you go. Harsh?
Well, I think you, as the parent, you know, it's probably never worth the money, but a Showbag to a kid is pretty special.
Absolutely.
If you remember your time as a youngster, if you got some show bags, it was a good day.
Boys, I'm going to the show tomorrow, but I'm dishing the bride and the tin lids, and then I'm going to the footy, says Rosa. Well done, Rosa.
Oh, like you're thinking.
Ali Mosley from Sky Racing. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. That was an interesting chat.
Got to cover everything. Okay, where are we? Post-impressionist for the William Haggis stable. It looks hard to beat in the Tancred. Off the quick backup, what do you see, or how do you see this race playing out, the Tancred on Saturday?
Yeah, he was super impressive first up in Australia, wasn't he, with Tom Marquand aboard. I think there's still maybe a slight question mark over whether he would definitely run or not. I know that was Izzy Paul, who's William Haggis's travelling foreman's thoughts yesterday at track work. I guess it's a pretty easy assignment for him, given that in truth it's probably not the strongest edition of a Tancred that we've seen. So I'd imagine that he'd be pretty hard to beat there, but it's just whether or not he backs up. He's certainly, though, at 240. Tom Kitten, perhaps one over the odds. I'm actually pretty keen on Military Mission there, 950. Come back in pretty nice order. He resumed over 2,000 in a listed race. Adam Hieronymus behind Serpentine, and then he came out and rattled home well behind Via Sistina, so he's got that form on the back up as well. So I like Military Mission at the odds there at 950, but obviously post-impressionist, should he run, I think it'll be very hard to beat. He made our weight for age stayers look a little bit second-rate, didn't he?
Yeah, there's some shorties there on Saturday, Al. What about this New Zealand filly, Orchestral, coming out for the Vinery?
Well, what can we say about her? She looks like a star in the making. She travelled over on Tuesday night. I had a chat to her co-trainer, Rob Wellwood, and he said she's absolutely flying. They've got a huge opinion of her. Sky's the limit with her thus far at $1.60. If you want to take that, I wouldn't steer you away. But there's another one. I just heard, Maxie having a chat about who he likes there. Kimochi at odds. I am keen on, and she's a filly who I think I tipped that day that we had our big sports breakfast lunch, Our Gold Hope. And she ended up rattling home for second there in the Kembla Grange Classic Group 3 for the fillies. And I know that the team have a huge opinion of her. Yes, she's got to beat some stars, the likes of Zardozi, even Autumn Angel for Peter Moody and Catherine Coleman. But I reckon at $81, let's have a little something on her. Don't miss her, Our Gold Hope.
And you'd think as well, because that was over the mile, obviously, the step up in trip should suit down to the ground based on what we saw that day. So that is... I love it. Our Gold Hope, $81 to win, $9 to place in the Vinery Stud Stakes for the fillies. Something. I like it, Ali. we've got another shorty, obviously, in the Prelude with another Will, $1.90. Yeah. Looking outside it?
Yeah, probably. I mean, like I normally do, $1.90 if you fancy that price, I wouldn't steer you away. He's obviously another star in the making, and I had a chat to the team on Tuesday morning at Trackwork, and they mentioned that Jamie Carr says she's going to stick with this horse wherever he goes. She'll follow him around the world, so which she's done thus far. She's come up and trialled him, and then she was up here on Tuesday morning for the trials again, trialling Southport Tycoon. So another wheel at $1.90, obviously the real deal one to beat. Another one I like in that race though is Coin Toss, the Fairwater House and Adrian Botts former Singapore galloper. I think he won a Singapore Derby actually, and they brought him out here, and he ran behind Oban Buramai and the Golden Eagle last year, and he always was a horse that I thought would be better next prep, and that's exactly what Adrian Bott had said at the time. And then he came out and won at Canberra with, I thought, a little bit in hand and a little bit of improvement. So again, just looking outside the favourite, I think another will our winner there, and a very, you know, very winnable race for him. But Coin Toss, the one I like each way.
Who do you like at the Tab Australian Cup?
Oh, gee, I don't know. I like to watch it and stay out of it, I think.
I'm with a tissue.
Fair. She is perhaps the overlooked one always. You know, Cascadia, I mean, you can never forget about poor old Cascadia, who just keeps running consistently. I think for racing, it's just a great clash, and it's exciting to have a really handy group of gallopers that we can watch there, and that's what I'm most looking forward to. I think selfishly I'd like Mr. Brightside to win, though.
Is there anything anywhere else, Al, across the weekend that you're keen on?
Yeah, so I think linebacker, you know, there's been so much chat around this guy in the Bayou. He is, I think, the real deal. I'm a bit gun-shy on these two-year-olds after we all piled into Gatsby's, but he's trialled since. He had that really impressive maiden win at Hawkesbury. Really, he has checkered preparation for him of sorts. He got scratched behind the barriers at Warwick Farm when he came out on debut there. He didn't really do anything wrong. He just got his head through the front, so they scratched him. He came out at Hawkesbury and won super impressively, beating Bazusto, and there's been some pretty handy form around him. So linebacker I'm keen on at the $1.90, and I think he is a very impressive horse to follow. If you want something each way, the only query with him is perhaps at the trip over 14, but he gets the blinkers on for the first time, and it is Odinson. I thought he was rattling home really well over 1,200 behind Holmesacourt in the Black Opal, and the blinkers on will certainly do the trick with him. The only query is the trip for mine, but he's $18, so each way we'll have something on him, but backing linebacker there. Then who else was I keen on? I thought Kintyre was going really well there in race 4. And then a couple today that I thought we might follow, not necessarily pile into, but there's a horse called Rubicans out of Catkins who's resuming off a really long spell. She's had about 353 days off. She's trialled very impressively. She was added into the black book in her trial. She was absolutely trucking through the line. I think it maps well for her. So we'll have maybe a little watch on Rubicans today. And then I actually text Dave Pfeiffer this morning just to get an update because I selfishly wanted to have a bet myself on Over Ice today at Hawkesbury with the blinkers back on again over the mile. I think it'll hopefully sharpen her up. So 6.50 for her. I like her each way today.
What was her name again?
Over Ice.
Over Ice.
Yeah, just each way. She's 6.50 and just Dave seems to think that blinkers should hopefully sharpen her up over a mile assignment. Just get that little bit extra out of her for today at Hawkesbury.
Okay, for our listeners, I've just got the race and number for those two horses to keep an eye on today. So at Hawkesbury, race two, number seven. Race two, number seven, Rubicans, which is the $3.30 favourite currently with Tab. And race seven, number 12, Over Ice. Race 7, number 12, is currently $6 and $2 the place. You go and have a great Easter, Ali. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Steve Hewlett, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. James Cummings is going to join us in the first hour. I'll talk about all these horses, your Tom Kittens, your Zardozies, Cascadians, and a couple of performances last week. And also a guy from Mar Racing. I'm really interested. His name is Joshua Kavanagh. Now, obviously, he's got a wonderful mathematical brain, but his title at Mar Racing is Head of Data and Performance, so it's quite extraordinary what he does after these horses with the satellite tracking work, stride length, and all sorts of things that he looks at. And it was a real eye-opener having a chat to Josh off-air about just his task there at Mar Racing. So he's one of our guests, and we've got our Get Set team of form analysts in the first hour as well, and Rachel King if we can find time. But we've got a lot to squeeze in on this Thursday.
Sounds like it. Love it, Steve. Have Thanks, a great guys. Easter as well. Steve Hewlett coming up on Radio Tab this morning. And as I intro Dave Stanley, morning DS, we've got Stephen in Bateman's Bay texting in saying, can you think, Dave, for the John O'Shea interview yesterday, gave a good push for, I think it was more territories at Randwick.
Yeah.
Steve at Bateman's Bay says, we got $31, it SP'd $19, won like an even money pop. How are you, mate?
Very good, mate. Yeah, looking forward to punters panel today. Now, I know that you just gave away four tickets to Tancred Stakes. I've just got a text here from Brett Devine from the ATC. He's been listening this morning. Brett's going to join me after 9 o'clock. For those that were listening to the Big Sports Breakfast, right around New South Wales, or look, you can fly in from other parts of the country if you want, I've got to give away five double passes. So for those that missed out before with the Big Sports Breakfast and some tickets, Brett's rang up and said, look, I feel generous for Easter, so I'm going to give away five double passes GA to Saturday at Rose Hill. So we'll do that after scratchings this morning when Brett joins us. Probably about 10 past nine. So don't change the dial if you're wanting to go to Rose Hill on Saturday, boys. What do you got planned for Easter, Middo?
Going home.
Oh, beautiful.
Yep.
Is it a Chilling. Big... It, when you go home, is it like the prodigal son? Like, have your siblings said, does the red carpet get rolled out
and
you just sort
not.
Of stroll in?
Absolutely not. Well, I just like chilling and being left alone, Dave.
Do you like to pop up just in town? You'll just be down the local store
sure
and someone goes, oh, Middo's in town.
I'm sure there'll be a beer at the Gladdy or something
like
that.
I like it. I like it. Pup, you're off, aren't you? Yes, completely off.
I was off, well and truly. QF, I'm out of here. QF. I fly to India.
What is it like? Just explain to us all, what's it like to turn left in the plane? What's the experience like?
Yeah, it's nice. Better than turning right.
100%. I would imagine so.
Especially when you're not paying.
Oh,
even
when you're not paying,
better when you're not paying, buddy. That's the right time to turn left.
What are their hotels like over there? Like, obviously,
very magnificent.
But
they're big. They're like a compound. It's like Crown Casino.
And not G'ing up here either. Not like you think. I might think I'm G'ing up, but fair dinkum. Like, if you wanted to get out and go for a run or go for a walk or something, you just can't. Would people just dead set be onto you going, That's Michael Clark, because they love their cricket, and then you just out, yeah.
You're just not allowed.
Is it like that?
Yeah, you're not allowed to leave the... Like, you can leave the hotel, but you'd probably go to another hotel or a house party or something. You're not going for a run in the street, no.
Yeah, okay.
No.
not just going down the
But it's
the
a beautiful
markets.
Part of the world. I'm looking yeah. forward to it.
Dave Laurie wants to go on Easter holidays.
Oh, you want to go, Loz? Oh,
see you, David.
You want to knock off. Where are you off to, Loz?
See you, David.
He's thirsty, I know that.
I'm just going. I'm going off the grid.
What beach are you off to, mate? What mansion are you off to?
I'm going, I'll be off the grid for 4 days, Dave.
That's a lie, because you'll be texting on Saturday saying, I
will text you something,
yeah.
But in terms of being seen, I'm just going to hide.
Before we go then, what's your over-under for the weekend?
Four
cartons.
Oh, sorry. Right. Oh, no.
Just quiet.
Half a dozen.
Half a dozen. There we go. Boys.
You know, half a dozen.
That's winners,
couple
by
of
the
wise,
way.
A couple
That's
of,
winners.
A couple of wines.
Enjoy.
As well. So, yeah, half a dozen beers and a few glasses of wine at night. That'll see me through every night.
Have a good Easter. Back plenty of winners, boys.
See you,
on you, buddy.
See you, mate.